This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah for the many favors Allah has bestowed upon us, amongst which Allah Ta'ala says specifically, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. I have done you a tremendous favor by sending the Nabi of Almighty Allah, my Rasul, to you, who came to you from amongst your own kind, from amongst human beings. And there is a special reason for that, which I will go on to make mention. We send salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Respected brothers, earlier on, Maulana Suleiman Rawat and Maulana Habib has spoken about aspects of the greatness of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reality is, we will never ever be able to do justice to the greatness of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Urdu poet has very beautifully said it, and marhum Junaid Jamshed rahmatullah alayhi used to very eloquently express that, Mustafa Mujtaba tere mado thana mere bas mein nahi mere dast ras mein nahi. O Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to praise you is beyond me. I cannot do so. Dil ko himmat nahi, lab ko yara nahi. My heart doesn't have the capacity, my tongue and my words do not have the necessary eloquence to praise you as is your due. Tutsa kohi nahi, tutsa kohi nahi. Just to say in brief, there is no one like you, there is no one like you. However, the greatness of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam should never mystify his life to the extent that we don't take benefit from his life. After all, Allah Ta'ala had said, لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have a perfect example in every aspect. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam through various stages in his life. Various trials, various situations come upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And let me just say very briefly that a true life that is put forward as an example can only be an example if it serves as an inspiration and a guide for humanity till the day of Qiyamah, in their various backgrounds, in their various professions. Then only it can be a perfect example. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life satisfied that criteria for an ideal example. Different situations came upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes there was happiness, sometimes there was sadness, sometimes there was laughter, sometimes there was tears. Sometimes there was, in a battlefield, there was victory, sometimes there were setbacks. And even within our own life, you know, we have different moods. Sometimes we are sad, sometimes we are happy. And the perfect example and the perfect life can only be if it is an inspiration and a guide and an example to humanity in its different professions, in his varied professions, and in a human being in his individual different aspects of his life. That life, which is a true example, would be able to be an inspiration and motivation for humanity in its different profession, different backgrounds, and in an individual life in our different circumstances. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life fulfilled that. Let me give you some examples. One of the greatest examples we find from our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I would like us to be able to take these examples and put it forward into our life. How did our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us how to relate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, in our history, in the Indo-Pak subcontinent, there was a very great alim and a very great orator. Maulana Ataullah Shah Bukhari used to speak for hours and people used to come and listen to him. Even non-Muslims used to come and listen to him. And he had a very amazing way of putting things forward. And one day he put this aspect of how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned towards Almighty Allah, despite his greatness. How he put it? He said, "Maine ek haseen dekha, jo haseenon mein ahsan nazar aaya, jameelon mein ajmal nazar aaya, karimon mein akram nazar aaya. I saw a human being who was the most beautiful of anyone who could lay claim to beauty. The most graceful, the most elegant, the greatest person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. The one that Allah ta'ala took an oath in the Holy Quran with regard to his life, la'amruk. The one about whom Allah ta'ala took an oath on his speech, waqilihi ya rabbi inna haulai qawmul la yu'minun. The one about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath in the city that he resided. Because he resided in the city. La uksimu bihadha al-balad wa anta illum bihadha al-balad. And he was such a great human being. When he said yes to something, it became halal. When he said no to something, it became haram. Ma atakum ar-rasul fakhudhu wa ma nahakum anhu fantahu. Says Allah Ta'ala in the 28th Supara of the Holy Quran. I can go on making mention with regard to various aspects of his greatness. But just to tell you, he was such a great human being. And the orator says that for a moment I thought, if I have a problem, if I have a difficulty, I will go and knock at his door to and ask him for assistance. So he said, went through the means of his biography. I went to knock at his door to ask for assistance. I saw the entire creation was sleeping. And this great human being, whose some of his greatness I have just sort of very briefly mentioned, this great human being, whom Allah Ta'ala speaks about so greatly in the Holy Quran, where Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَزِيمٍ. This great human being, he was crying in front of someone else with regard to his needs. And he was making dua to Almighty Allah, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. Oh Allah, if you punish my bonds, my ummah, you are entitled to punish them because they are your servants. You can punish them if you want. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. But if you forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. You also have the power and the ability and the capacity to forgive them. He said, then my mind made a decision. Don't go to such great people for assistance. Go to that being where even such great people go and ask assistance from. He taught us to go and ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He taught us despite his greatness that we are supposed to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana had made mention with regard to how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's feet used to swell by being in ibadah. Although he was so great. And subhanallah, you know, there's one very beautiful incident in the books of hadith. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day asked Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, "Oh Abdullah, read the Quran for me." And Abdullah said, "Iqra alayk." Huh? Should I read it for you, O Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it has been revealed unto you? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inni uhibbu an asma'ahu min ghayri." I would love to hear the Quran from someone else today. And many a times it happens, we are in the mood sometimes of reading the Quran, sometimes we are in the mood of listening to the Holy Quran. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inni uhibbu an asma'ahu min ghayri." Today I would like to listen to the Quran from someone else. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, "I started speaking and I started reading from Surah Nisa. When I came to the ayat, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا." And the essence of that verse is Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be a witness for the previous Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, that they had fulfilled their responsibility of propagating Allah's message to the people. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, while I was reading, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand on my mouth and said, "Hasbuka ya ibn Mas'ud, ibn Mas'ud, enough, enough." And I looked at Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَغَلَبَ الْبُكَى. That tears had overwhelmed Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the extent that his beard was wet out of the fear of Almighty Allah. His beard was wet out of listening to the kalam of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Nabi that had such a great rank, and that was his fear of Almighty Allah. What is supposed to be our fear? What is supposed to be our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is just one example. Therefore Allah ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. When you have completed your task, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's task was a very, very, very great task. The task of nubuwwat, the task of propagating Allah's message. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you have completed your task, tire yourself in turning towards Almighty Allah. This is a command that is to us also. You have finished your worldly task, you have finished your responsibility, tire yourself in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one aspect of spirituality. Now many a times we would think that a person who is so engrossed in ibadat, and he is so engrossed in turning towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it happens many a times in our life, we don't have balance. So many a times they think that he is so engrossed, he doesn't have perhaps time to look after his family. He doesn't have time to spend what we today in today's time say quality time with his family. Subhanallah. May we be sacrificed upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas radiallahu anhu says, "Ma ra'aytu ahadan kana arhamu bil ayal min Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam." I never saw anyone who was more merciful to his family than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I never saw anyone who was more merciful to his family than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abi Layla radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, one day it was after Isha, we went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was relaxing, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying down, and his grandson was on his stomach. When the grandson was on the stomach of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed water, he passed urine. You see, we were the Sahaba, we couldn't bear it, so we rushed forward. How can you do this to the Nabi? Many times it happens. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was his grandson. They looked upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a Nabi. So they rushed forward. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, stop. Don't do anything to my grandson. Leave him. He has done something which a normal child would do. Go and fetch water. I will wash myself. But don't do anything. And don't rebuke. Don't shout my grandson. Recently I was reading a book of, Sa'labi. He has written various books on various great personalities. So in his book about Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, I just read an amazing incident. He said in the time of Marwan, who was the governor of Medina Munawwara, he said, Marwan came to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Marwan came and said, "Oh Abu Huraira, tell me why do you love Hassan and Hussein so much? Oh Abu Huraira, tell me why do you love Hassan and Hussein so much?" There was a bit of rivalry between the Umayyads and the Bani Hashim, which is a well-known fact of history. So Marwan came and said, "Oh Abu Huraira, why do you show so much respect and regard to Hassan and Hussein?" And the books of history says that he was lying down. Abu Huraira was lying down. When Marwan asked him this question, Abu Huraira got up and said, "Marwan, are you asking me why I'm showing regard to Hassan and Hussein? One day, we were gone in an expedition, we were gone in a travel, and Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an were crying. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rushed to the tent of Fatima. Oh Fatima, why are my children crying? Why are my children crying?" And she said, "Ya Rasulullah, I can't do anything. Oh my beloved father, they are crying because of thirst and there is no water. They are crying because of thirst and there is no water." The books of history said, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that. He put Hassan and Hussein on his lap and he took out his tongue and he said, "Oh my children, suck the moisture on my tongue and satisfy your thirst. Suck the moisture on my tongue and satisfy your thirst." And Abu Huraira told Marwan, "Are you asking me why I show regard to these people? These are the people that the Nabi of Allah had regard for." Now this is how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with his family. Now, as Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, "Ma ra'aytu ahadan kana arhamu bil ayal min Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam." I never saw anyone who was more merciful to his family than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether it be with his wives, whether it be with his children, with the grandchildren. This is how our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with him. If you want to deal with your family, don't use the excuse of piety, of not being kind and compassionate and showing love to your children and to your family members. The Nabi of Allah was more pious than us, but look at his love that he had for his children and his family members. One of the aspects that we are supposed to speak about is that we are living today in a time of negativity. And this is something that is common. People love negativity. People love negative news. And I always like to give this example that, if in OR Tambo Airport, if in one day there are 10 flights that land safely and there is no problem with those flights, It never make the headlines. You'll never see a headline, 20 flights land safely in OR Tambo. Never. But if there is a crash landing, or one particular airline has to make an emergency landing, everyone, you know, it will be the next day in the news. Emirates flight makes emergency landing in OR Tambo. Why? Because we like sensationalism. Positive news we don't like. Look at social media today. There are so many things that happen positively in our life, but we will never ever pass that thing. We will never forward it. What accolades do you get in forwarding good news? But let there be one aspect of gossip. Let there be one controversy. Let there be one thing with regard to someone's, you know, name being branded in an unfavorable light. How do we like to take it? I must be the first one to send it out to people. In the group, I must be the first one to send it. I mean, where do we get that from the Sharia? In ja'akum fasikum bi naba'in fatabayyanu. If anyone comes to you with news, first verify it. No, here is not a matter of verification according to what the Quran says. Here is to see, I'm the first in the group to bring this particular news up. But that's how we do. And normally it's all about negative aspects, because that is the thing that we like to forward the most. Our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu taught us, learn to take positive. Learn to take that which is positive. Stay away from that which is negative. One day Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked people, I want a camel to be milked. Who volunteers to milk the camel? One person got up. Ya Rasulullah, I'll milk the camel. What is your name? Murrah. What is the meaning of Murrah? Butter. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you sit down. The next person got up. Ya Rasulullah, I volunteer. What is your name? Jamra, burning coal. Sit down. Huh? The third person got up. What is your name? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, what's your name? Murrah. He also said, Murrah. Sit down. Murrah means butter. The fourth person got up. Ya Rasulullah, I volunteer. What is your name? Ya'ish. Ya'ish means one who has a long life with blessedness. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you go and milk the camel. How Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stayed away from negativity and took positivity? In the time of Hudaybiyah, when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in a very tense time, Sahaba wanted to make Umrah. And the Meccans had taken the oath that they will not allow them to make Umrah, because the entire Arabia will say that Muhammad and his companions overwhelmed the Quraysh. And at that particular time, it was a tense time. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then told the Sahaba, if they put forward to me anything with regard to peace, I will sign that peace treaty. I will go towards peace. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself wanted peace for various reasons, which the scope of this talk does not allow me to say that. And it's a topic on its own. How Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went for peace in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. You know, and what great lessons and what great benefit accrued to the Ummah because of that peace. Right? And then at that particular time, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hears, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hears that the chief negotiator of the Quraysh has been appointed, and his name is Suhail bin Amr. Later on became a Muslim. That time he was leading the Quraysh in the treaty, in negotiating the treaty. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, because the word Suhail comes from the word Sahal, easy, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, inshallah, from now on things will become easy for you. Learn to take the positive. Learn to eschew the negative. This is what we learn from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was say, when we say Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the best example, this is what we are supposed to learn. This is what we are supposed to bring in ourselves. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's one hadith, إِذَا أَتَتْ أَحَدُكُمُ السَّاعَةِ فَلْيَغْرَسِ الْفَصِيلَةِ فَلْيَغْرِسَ. If any one of you is about to plant a seedling, and he hears the trumpet of Qiyamah been blown, then don't let him say that, what is the use of me planting a seedling now when Qiyamah the trumpet has been blown? Who's going to benefit from the seed? Who's going to benefit from the tree? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, plant the seed. Plant the seed even at that time. Brothers, learn to be positive. Learn to do good deeds. Learn to stay away from negativity. These are some of the examples we learn from the life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his interaction with people, what did he teach us? He taught us, have a clean heart. He told Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ya Bunayya, in kadarta an tusbiha wa tumsi. Oh my Osman,
If you can spend a morning or an evening, if you can spend a morning and evening where وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌّ لِأَحَدٍ, where your heart is free from malice, hatred against every human being, then do so. ذَلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِي, because this is my sunnah. Spend a morning, spend an evening where your heart is free from malice and hatred against every human being. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu said, ذَلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِي, this is my sunnah. Maulana Suleiman had made mention that the external aspect is also part of the sunnah. But this is also a sunnah, the attitude of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that spend a morning, spend an evening where your heart is free from malice and hatred against every human being. ذَلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِي, this is my sunnah. وَمَنَ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي, he who loves my sunnah loves me. He who loves me will be together with me in Jannah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught people rahmat and kindness and compassion. Today, we feel as if the perception with regard to deen has become that deen is to be harsh. Deen is to be, you know, the whole aspect is that deen must be, you know, we must be serious. We must stay away from things that are, you know, kind and compassionate. We must not have that. I mean, that was not the overall temperament of our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What was Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam better known for? What was the various attributes of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that came to the fore? Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, Ud'u Allah Ta'ala, O Prophet of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, make dua, Ud'u ala al-mushrikeen, go and curse the mushrikeen. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Inni lam ab'athu la'anan, I have not been sent by Allah to curse people. I have not been sent by Allah to curse people. I have been sent as a rahmat and as a mercy to all, to humanity. This is what Nabi Akram says. Utbah bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala says in the battle of Badr, the battle of Uhud, when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was wounded and blood was flowing from the face of our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba found it very difficult. Nothing more greater and more difficult for the Sahaba than to see Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in pain. And when they saw Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this situation, they said, Ya Rasulullah, now go and curse the people of Mushrikeen. Now go and curse the Kafirin. Ya Rasulullah, now go and curse them. Now surely, now is the time to go and curse them. And the Sahaba wanted that if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cursed the kafir, the mushrikeen, those who are in the battlefield, and then Allah's adab will come upon them and they will be destroyed. And of course, when you see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in that situation, maybe that particular type of situation and that sentiment could have come in anyone's heart. So the Sahaba said, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted his hands in dua. And when he lifted up his hands in dua, Utbah bin Abi Waqqas said, I listen now properly. I said, now maybe he's going to curse and the Allah's adab is going to come. And what did he say? Allahumma ahdi qawm fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, have mercy upon my people, for they are ignorant. Oh Allah, give them hidayah. And all of them, those who were in the forefront of mutilating the body of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, they became Muslims. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this kindness, and he taught us this particular type. You know, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ma khuyyira Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bayna amrayn qat illa akhada aysarahuma ma lam yakun ithman. Whenever Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given an option to choose between two situations, he always chose the easy option as long as it was not guna and sin. Whenever Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the option of choosing between two options, he always chose the easy option as long as it did not commit, it was not guna and sin. He told Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an, Bashira wala tunafira, yassira wala tuassira. When he was sending him to Yemen, O Muadh, give people glad tidings. Don't turn them against religion. Don't create hatred amongst them. Make things easy for people. Wala tuassira, do not make things difficult for people. And this Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, one amazing incident came. One day, Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain about another person, about another Sahabi. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, this person, he's a munafiq, he's a hypocrite. Why is he a hypocrite, O Mu'adh? What makes you say he's a hypocrite? Ya Rasulullah, when we stand up for Isha Salat wa Jamaat, this person, he leaves the Isha Salat and he can read namaz on his own. He can read namaz on his own, he reads Salat on his own. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam summoned the person. How can you, when Salat has been performed in congregation, how can you leave the Salat and go make Salat on your own? Therefore, this particular aspect, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, perform Salat, sallu khalfa, kulla barwa fajr. Read Salat behind every imam, whether you regard him to be pious or you regard him to be impious. What will happen to the ummah if people start utilizing their own criteria to judge whether the imam is pious or not, and then decide whether they must make Salat with Jamaat with him or not? What will happen to the unity of the ummah? So this, to stay away from a Jamaat because of this reason, it goes against the unity of the ummah. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi summoned him and said, how can you do such a thing? How can you read Salat on your own when there is Jamaat? So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, let me explain to you the situation. We are people who, we go out and we do agriculture, we do farming. We leave our house after Fajr. We come back late at night. Right, when we come back late at night, Isha time, we want the Imam to read Isha, you know, briefly, and then we want to go and sleep. Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an, Ya Rasulullah, he reads Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran in Isha Salat. Huh? Make shukar our imams don't read those. Huh? Bishara, if he reads Wasabai, that will buruj also, we become proud. We find it difficult. Huh? One person came and one day he found that the imam was reading very, very long. And he said, I mean, what is he reading? What surah is he reading? He read Surah Baqarah. Baqarah means, you know, a cow or buffalo. So he said, such a long surah. So the next day he came again to the masjid. He said, now before I start reading, I must find out what surah is reading. He said, what surah is the imam reading? Reading Surah Fil. Fil means elephant. He said, if Baqarah takes so long, how long Fil is going to take? So he didn't know. So Hazrat Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called Mu'adh. Mu'adh, afattanun anta. Oh Mu'adh, are you putting people in trial? Oh Mu'adh, don't read such long surahs for my ummah. When Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look at his kindness, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be reading Salat, and we used to hear children crying in the section of the females, he used to shorten his Salat so that the mother is not put into any inconvenience. This is our beloved Nabi. Do we have that as perception about our deen, that our deen is supposed to be made convenient and easy for people? Afattanun anta ya Mu'adh? Oh Mu'adh, are you putting people in trial? And the same, let me give you a sequel to this incident. This person, when Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu called him a munafiq because of the situation which I had outlined, he one day told Mu'adh, I will show you who is a munafiq and who is a hypocrite. He went out in the path of Allah. He went out in jihad. He sacrificed his life and he gave his life in the path of Allah. When he passed away, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called Mu'adh. Oh Mu'adh, the person whom you call the munafiq, today he gave his life in the path of Allah. The person whom you call a munafiq, today he gave his life in the path of Allah. Who are we to judge? Who are we to judge? What, you know, a person is a munafiq and then how Allah Ta'ala made him a shaheed? And even the same Hadrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when you want to correct people, when you want to bring people upon the right path, then the way to do so is through the means of encouragement, not through the means of harshness. The same Hadrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day told me, O Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. Ulama say, they haven't found these words with regard to any sahabi, that Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, Oh Mu'adh, I love you. Huh? And someone who went to the qabr of Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala says, on the qabr of Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala is written these words, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. Oh Mu'adh, after every salat, read Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadati. Oh Allah, help me in remembering you, in being grateful to you, and making the best ibadat possible of you. Hazrat Muaz said, after waiting, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told me this, I never ever forgot this aspect. I never forgot this dua for the rest of my life. Because the way Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught me, if you want to bring about reformation amongst people, then you don't go and treat them harshly. You go and encourage them. And even if they do make mistakes, what we learn from Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life with regard to mistakes, few things we learn. One is, don't look at the mistakes of people with a finger of accusation. Look at the mistakes of people with a finger of compassion. And try and bring them away from their mistakes. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Maulana made mention of the incident of the person who urinated in the masjid. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the Sahaba got angry, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, leave him alone, leave him alone, let him finish. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then gave him advice. And do you know what happened after that? He made dua to Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you know what dua he made? Oh Allah, have mercy upon Muhammad and have mercy upon me. Don't have mercy upon anyone else. I mean, you don't blame him. When you saw the kindness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what a dua he made. Oh Allah, have mercy upon Muhammad, have mercy upon me, don't have mercy upon anyone else. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you have restricted something that is very vast. Allah's mercy is much more than that. Don't make du'as in such a way. But look at the reason why he made the du'a. And then what we learn is, look at them. You know, there was a sahabi, these young people are sitting here and I think searching something so beautiful. Abu Bukra radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to have this habit, and sometimes we also have this. You come running into the masjid because you don't want to miss a salat. Now young people, they do this. Now because they see the imam just went into ruku, now they're coming from there. While they're running from there, they're making Allahu Akbar. Right? You see it, it happens. You see it. So someone went to complain to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, Abu Bukra, when he comes to the masjid, he runs and then he does this. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called Abu Bukra. Abu Bukra said, I was young, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called me, I felt very, very, you know, embarrassed, shame. And you know what Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him? Abu Bukra, may Allah reward your enthusiasm for salat. Oh Abu Bukra, may Allah reward your enthusiasm for salat. You are running to the masjid. But next time, don't do it like that. It is against the dignity of the masjid to run in the masjid. Look at how Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam corrected his mistake. Muawiyah bin Hakam. He was a young sahabi, became a Muslim, heard that when you sneeze, you must say Alhamdulillah loud. Didn't know that you must not say it in the congregation. Jamaat time comes, he sneezes and he says, Alhamdulillah, the whole masjid heard. He says, in the books, is written in the hadith, people started nudging him. Keep quiet. You know, youngsters also, where one is making a mistake, keep quiet now, why are you making so much noise? You're going to get all of us in trouble. So he said, keep quiet. And he started looking at me with big eyes. And I said, what are they looking at me with big eyes for? Right? And then he said, after the salat, Nabi Akram Sawasim said, who said Alhamdulillah so loud? He said, I was further embarrassed. I hope the earth could have opened. And he said, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called me. You know? And these are the exact words of his, which is recorded in the books of hadith. Ma darabani, wa la kaharani, wa la shatamani. The Prophet of Almighty Allah did not hit me. He did not abuse me. He did not rebuke me. He did not make me feel embarrassed. I never saw a muallim and teacher before or after better than the Nabi of Allah. I never saw. How do you look at the mistakes of people? Do you look at it with the intention of, now I'm going to write a pamphlet now? Or do you look at it that I want a compassion to make him come upon the right path? What are we doing? And sometimes, in correcting people's mistake, you don't make the situation worse than what it was. This is also the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Do not make the situation more worse than what it was. One day, in the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I know time is coming up, inshallah, I'll try and finish this one or two incidents because there are so many aspects of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. This particular aspect is shining in the books of history, right? That a person in the Mubarak era of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Madinah Munawwara, he was caught drinking alcohol. So in Islam, it's not an ordinary thing. And we know and we see the harms of it, that alcohol causes such great amount of harm, you know, and how much of harm that are attached, accidents and all, sickness and illness. So in Islam, there is a punishment. The person must be lashed if he drinks open in the public or he's found to be drunk in the public. So as he was being hit and as people were, you know, hitting him, because of the Islamic method of, you know, making him feel guilty with regard to it so that he can leave it, one person said, "May Allah disgrace you. May Allah disgrace you." And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately stopped the people and said, "What are you saying? Don't say such words that allow shaitan to get the upper hand over your brother. Don't leave him to feel so despondent that shaitan got a way now to make him feel despondent about deen. He committed a mistake. We are rectifying it. But don't allow shaitan to get the upper hand over your Muslim brother. Even in correcting people, you don't make the situation more worse. That incident with regard to urinating in the masjid, one of the reasons why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, leave him to do what he's doing. Don't prevent him, because if you had gone to prevent him, if you had gone to stop him, what would have happened? He would have got up, he would have ran, and he would have ran. What would have happened? Instead of the napaki and the urine only being in one portion of the masjid, he would have ran, he would have been throughout the masjid. So in correcting people's mistake, you don't make the situation more worse than what it is. And this is what we learn from. When we also learn from our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, weigh the consequences of your action before taking any action. Weigh the consequences. Don't just be emotional and do things. So one day, I mean not once, many a times in the life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba asked permission to kill Abdullah bin Ubay, who was the leader of the Munafiq. Go and kill Abdullah bin Ubay. Umar took out his sword many a times. Ya Rasulullah, he is always in the forefront of creating fitna. Ya Rasulullah, he is the one who falsely accused Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala of putting her and putting you, Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in such difficult conditions. One day his own son asked permission to kill Abdullah bin Ubay because he was an open munafiq and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew about it. And he received wahi from Almighty Allah that he was a munafiq. And they so many times came, Ya Rasulullah, this man has committed so many times treason, let us finish him up. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said no. And one day they asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, why shouldn't we kill him? Do you know what answer Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave? There are two answers that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave. One was, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, people will say Muhammad kills his own companions. People will say Muhammad kills his own companions and his own followers. Have we ever thought about the consequences of our fighting? People will say Muslims are fighting with one another. Have we ever considered? Muslims are just fighting with one another. Don't kill him, O my Sahaba, because one of the reasons people will say Muhammad kills his own companions. Muslims kill their own. And the other reason, don't kill him because he reads Salat with us. Whatever his reasons for, he's reading Salat with us. Brothers, this is the way Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us things. He taught us the aspect of understanding the temperaments of people. He told us, understand the temperaments of people. In the battle of Badr, when the captives were brought, and there was a mashwara, what must we do with the captives? And when the matter was brought, so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, these are our own family members. Ya Rasulullah, be kind towards them. Be considerate towards them. Maybe later on they will become Muslims. Let us free them, Ya Allah. Ya Rasulullah, maybe with ransom we will free them. But Ya Rasulullah, don't kill them. They are our own family members. Maybe one day they will become Muslims. Be kind and compassionate towards them. Umar radiallahu anhu had another view. What did Umar radiallahu anhu say? Ya Rasulullah, this is the first time there is a battle between truth and falsehood. Let us establish a clear criteria that we will fight, truth will fight against batil. And we will make no compromise in this fight. Right? So, and Ya Rasulullah, not only must they be executed, the one who is closest to them in family ties, he must be the one who will execute them. He will be the one who will execute them. What did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? Now you got these two views. Do you know what he said? He didn't say this one is right, that one is wrong. He chose the view of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. That was a decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored the view of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. But when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received these two views, what did he say? He said, Allah has made the hearts of certain people very hard. They are very harsh towards kufr and disbelief and upon batil. And O Umar, your example is like the example of Nuh alayhi salam, who said, Rabbi la tadhar ala al-ardi min al-kafirina dayyara. O Allah, do not keep one single disbeliever alive, kill all of them. And O Umar, your example is like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, where Allah ta'ala said, Rabbanat mis ala amwalihim, washtud ala qulubihim. That Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbanat mis ala qulubihim, O Allah, destroy his wealth, the wealth of Fir'aun. Put a seal on his heart that he never accepts Islam until he sees your punishment. Oh Umar, your example is like Musa alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And oh Abu Bakr, your example is like Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. What dua he made? In tu'adhibhum fa'innahum ibaduk. Oh Allah, if you punish my followers, you have every right to punish them. They are your bondsmen, they are your servants. But if you forgive them, you have every right to forgive them. And oh Abu Bakr, your example is like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. What did Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam make dua? فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. Oh Allah, those of my followers who follow me, they are part of me. وَمَنْ أَسَانِي. But those who disobey my commands, which you have given, فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. You are forgiving and merciful. Oh Abu Bakr, you are like Ibrahim. Now Ibrahims normally are soft. إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَحَلِيمٌ. Ibrahim is the one who is full of hil, full of tolerance. And that also people find objectionable. So Ibrahim's are like that. Now what are you going to do? So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did he say? Oh Umar, your example is like Nuh and Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh Abu Bakr, these are temperaments. Whoever you feel like your temperament is mixed towards, go and follow them. Don't fight against the other person. If your temperament is more towards kindness, then go and follow that. Or go and follow that alim who's got that particular type of inclination. And if you are, but why fight? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't teach us to fight with regard to matters in which we have difference of opinion. This is what he taught us. That there are people who have different temperaments, you have people who have different backgrounds, and the way they look at things. It doesn't become and make it a matter of fighting. And this is what, unfortunately, these are the type of lessons from Sirah we are supposed to take in our day-to-day life. How Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at the temperaments of people? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, was one day sitting. And when he was sitting, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala came and he asked for permission to enter. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in a relaxed mood. His lungi was slightly lifted up more towards the knees. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr came, he sat in the same manner. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked for permission, he also sat in the same manner. And the third person came and knocked at the door. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who is it? Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And immediately Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got up, put his kurta right, put his lungi right, and where he was previously sitting informally, he started sitting formally and he got up. And he greeted Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Now Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was very, very perceptive. I recently read some alims, you know, article, and said, it would have been a tragedy upon this ummah if Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was not there. What great perception. How many things she asked Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we came to know. There are so many examples. One day Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa-d-dain. O Allah, save me and protect me from disbelief and debt. To be in Qaraz. So immediately she said, Ya Rasulullah, are you making dua for with of protection of Allah from kufr and debt in one dua? And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, a person when he is in debt becomes morally vulnerable. When he speaks lies. And when he makes a promise, he breaks a promise. That's why I ask Allah's protection in one dua from both kufr and debt. So many things, not... So when Nabi Hazrat Aisha saw this, Ya Rasulullah, Abu Bakr came, Umar came, you sat like that, and Uthman came, you change your posture. Why did you do so, Ya Rasulullah? What did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Usman is extremely modest. Why should I not show modesty to the one even the angels show modesty to? Why should I not show modesty to the one even the angels show modesty to? He took into account the temperament of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and dealt with him accordingly. Abu Bakr and Umar, is that like that? Just look at the beauty. These are the aspects of seerah when we talk about a seerah. Today, brothers, people read many, many different types of books. Right? They read leadership books. I've read quite a few of them, and sometimes it's good. You get some good points in them. Right? But I'm telling you, there is none greater that you can get examples to lead your life as an excellent example in your personal relationship, in your relationship with your family, in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your relationship with people, in your relationship with the community, then our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One aspect with which I will conclude with is the aspect of soft power. If you want to change people, then use the art of gentle persuasion to change people. You can, perhaps people will see a need to be able to make proclamations in which they would like to state certain things. And maybe there's a need for that. But if you want to change people, if you want to change people, the way to change people is not by harshness. You'll never be able to change people by harshness. Today you can't even change your own children with harshness. If you want to change people, then learn the method of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He changed people by kindness, compassion, pleading with them, dealing with them with gentleness and kindness. And let me conclude this example of Wahshi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Today we say radiallahu ta'ala anhu to a person who killed the uncle of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Go and read the books of history, how Wahshi killed Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he saw the mutilated body of his uncle, he cried so much that the Sahaba also started crying. He cried so much that the Sahaba also started crying. And then afterwards, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard that Wahshi is staying near Taif. Where is Medina? Where is Taif? So he started writing letters to him. Very long, four or five letters he wrote to him. Oh, Wahshi, accept Islam. Wahshi, accept Islam. And Wahshi said, what must I accept Islam? Everything what Islam told us not to do, I have done. What am I going to benefit in accepting Islam? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is pleading with him. Just to give you one example of one of the communications, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote, Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan. Oh Wahshi, bring iman, because whoever brings iman, he repents, he brings iman, and does righteous deeds, Allah will change his entire evil deeds of the past into good deeds. So Wahshi said, what am I going to benefit from this ayat? The ayat says, I must repent, I must bring iman, then I must do righteous deeds. Then Allah will change my evil deeds into good deeds. I haven't brought iman. I haven't repented. I don't have no good deeds. What am I going to benefit from this ayat? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is pleading with the one who killed his uncle. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote him last letter, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. So Wahshi heard this. He said, okay, this ayat now suits me. This makes more sense for me. So Wahshi came to Medina, but he knew that if someone sees him, before he comes and see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they're going to finish him because of what he had done. He covers his face with a scarf. He doesn't take out that scarf until he's in Masjid al-Nabawi. And then when he's in Masjid al-Nabawi, then he takes out his scarf. Even then, when he takes out his scarf, Sahaba's hands go to their sword. Ya Rasulullah, this Wahshi has come. Before he comes to you, let us finish him up. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, hold on, you people. Wahshi, come and sit in front of me. Wahshi, tell me why you have come. I have come to accept Islam. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, Wahshi, before you accept Islam, tell me how you killed my uncle. Wahshi, tell me how you killed my uncle. Ulama say 7 years before that the incident took place. 7 years. Wahshi, tell me how you killed my uncle. He relates the incident, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is crying. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, Oh Wahshi, Allah innal Islam yahdimu ma kana qablah. Islam will wipe away what you have done in the past. Allah will accept your tawbah because you have brought iman. But don't come in front of me. Every time you come in front of me, I'm going to be reminded about my uncle. And it is too painful for me. Huh? Now, just two lessons. One is the cause is greater than our personal emotions. The cause of Islam is greater than our own likes and dislikes, and greater than our emotions. Thus, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted Wahshi's Tawbah even if there was an emotion that was attached to it. And the second thing it shows you, persuasive power. How do you change people? One of the things that we in South Africa, we have to realize, and we have to start thinking about, is why is it that after 350 years, the population of Muslims in South Africa hasn't changed? Because we haven't got that gentleness and that akhlaq of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to change people. If we want to change people, then we have to bring our akhlaq of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in conclusion, I would just say this. This is the lessons that we have to learn from a Sira Jalsa. Not only speak about the greatness, because that is beyond us, but take these type of lessons. May Allah give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Say Jazakallah khairan to Mawlana Ibrahim himself for the beautiful advices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring it into our lives.